So we all send money every day. You open your bank app, you enter an account number, you enter an amount, and you send money, right? We do it every time. But I've really taken time out to understand what really happens behind the scenes, right? How does that money go from your account to someone else's account, right? This is what we'll be talking about on today's episode of How Good Tech Works podcast. This is actually the first official episode of the podcast. So yeah, I'll be looking forward to your feedback. Let me know how you feel about it. You can send me an email at bulu@techpoint.africa. Yeah, or you can just reach out to me on Twitter, Bulu Abiodun, and send me a DM or tag me and let me know how you feel about the podcast. Yeah, so basically we're talking about bank transfers, or just explaining how Nigeria's financial technology works, right? I had a very interesting conversation with someone at NIBS, and they shared some pretty interesting stuff with me. So, but before we go into that, let's just talk about the basis, right? So what happens when I open my bank app and I send money to someone? For me, I think I've always thought about it this way. Imagine money just flying through the air, right? I imagine it as actual cash flying through the air, and then the bank somehow guides that money from one point to another. Sounds silly, but yeah, I think the reason why I actually think about transfers this way was there's this thing people say where they say, oh, my money has hung, like if the transaction was unsuccessful, and then they say, oh, the money is hanging somewhere, hanging in the air. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe the money was sent and then there was a tree on the way. And I know, sounds silly, but it's just like an imagination or a picture that I paint, right, when I hear about bank transfers. But it's actually an interesting technology. And when you talk about bank transfers in Nigeria, you have to talk about NIP, right? Okay, let's back up a little. So NIP, before you talk about NIP, you have to talk about Nigerian Interbank Settlement System, which is NIBS, founded in 1993. That was like when digital transactions actually became a thing in Nigeria, right? They sort of provided that business. Not just NIBS, it's also important to like note that there were other fintech players like Interswitch, eTransact, that were also looking to, you know, improve Nigeria's digital payment space. Yeah, but things really turned around. Things really took a huge positive turn when NIP was created. NIP is NIBS Instant Payment, and it was created 13 years ago. 2011, right? It was created as a result of, so the basis for NIP was started in 2006 when the Central Bank of Nigeria, you know, laid the foundation for bank transfers, designating NIBS to be the national central switch, and they taxed NIBS with the duty of linking CBN licensed banks, mobile money operators, and every other switch together. They also created the Nuband system, right? That's Nigeria Uniform Bank Account Number. Before, all these different banks could have different kinds of account numbers, different lengths, but there was now like a uniform standard after the CBN did all this. Then after doing all this, you know, sort of provided the basis for that NIP, which is the reason why we have instant bank transfers now, which is the reason why I can send money to someone and in the next few seconds, they see it. So now Nigeria is like as the sixth most developed real-time payment market, right? And we're given that ranking 2021 according to ACI's Prime Time Real report. Yes, sixth most developed in the world, right? So what really goes on behind the scene when you eat send? So an easy way to understand it's just messages, right? It's just all about communication. So imagine that the picture I painted when I said transfer is like money flowing through the air from one bank account to another. It's sort of like that, but it's really not at the same time, right? So what really happens is messaging between banks, right? So it's pretty much messaging. So bank transfers is more like sending messages than actual cash being moved from one place to another. So it's basically like banks texting each other, giving each other instructions. And then the messaging platform is now NIBS, right? Is NIBS, N-I-B. I think it's kind of clearer that way. Yeah, that's like a really good way to understand it. So when you click send on your phone, it means you've initiated a payment request. So this payment request has like it's like a message, right? It's not just like an ordinary message. It's not like how you send WhatsApp messages. They're in code, they are encrypted, very deep level stuff, right? So it's what happens basically is change in financial records, right? Change in financial records. Yes, the money leaves my account immediately, but it's digital money, so it's just changing financial records. The records change based on the requests that I have made, right? But then the interesting thing is money actually doesn't leave the bank, right? Money doesn't actually leave the bank. It's just records being created. So what happens is I initiate that payment request. That payment request is sent to NIP. NIP routes that request to the correct bank. The bank gets the request and they change the records based on the request they've given, right? The debit is then sent to my account while the credit is sent to the person I'm trying to send money. Pretty much that's what happens. Very simple, right? Financial records have been changed, but then money still remains in the account. Money still remains with the bank, right? The money has not left the bank. It has just left my account, right? The point where money actually now leaves the bank is where something called settlement happens. For NIBS, right? NIBS is, we now have different payments. We now have different switches, right? Not just NIBS anymore. But for NIBS, that settlement is done 4 times a day, right? So remember when I said those bank transfers are just records, just financial records being changed, right? Now the money actually leaves the bank during that settlement stage. So what happens during settlement is there's something that is also called netting, right? So what happens during that stage is those banks come together at some point, 4 times a day, and then they check, oh, these are the records, the debits, these are the credits. Let's use First Bank and GT Bank as an example. So GT Bank sees, oh, I sent there was a total of 100 million naira debits, right, to GTB. GTB says there's a total of 110 million naira to First Bank. So what do? This is where the netting term comes in, right? So 100 million naira debits from First Bank side, 110 million naira debits from GT Bank side. So instead of First Bank sending 100 million to GT and GT sending another 100 million naira to First Bank and sending 110 million naira to First Bank rather, GT just sends 10 million naira to First Bank because it makes sense, right? That's just the amount being owed, right? Then settlement is basically done at that point. So doing that settlement at a different period is sort of like the genius of NIP, right? Because trying to do settlements immediately, the customer makes payment requests, will make things very slow, very noisy, right? That was the way my contact at NIMS puts it. It will make things very noisy. So, yeah, I think that pretty much clears it. But the interesting thing about sentiment is sometimes some bank don't have money for sentiment. Namely, one of such banks is Heritage Bank, the bank that recently had its license revoked by the CBN. And yeah, in such situations where banks don't have money for settlement, things can get a bit tricky. And that's why you see that you probably can't send money to some banks. Well, some banks could have technical issues, but sometimes it could be something like this, right? Where they call it banks removing other banks from the NIP list, right? Don't want to have anything, because you wouldn't want to have anything to do with someone that you know probably owe you money for a while, right? So yeah, that's another dark side of settlements. So a fun fact is Nigeria actually had instant payments since 1993. But the interesting thing is, like, a more developed country like the US is actually just creating instant payment. I think they started in 2023, right, where they're about to create something similar. So I think this instant payment is something I've always found interesting about Nigeria. You know, that Nigeria is, like, when it comes to finance wise, that we're sort of moving as fast as the rest of the world. But my source at NIBS doesn't think so, and there's a reason for that. So yes, we had instant payments before a lot of developed countries actually, but this is how he puts it from the angle of they probably didn't really have a need for it. Right, he brought up an example of Japan. Japan, for example, still largely use cash, right? They still largely use cash. And then he took it from like a cultural perspective. So culturally, it might just be a thing, right? It doesn't really mean, he's saying it doesn't really mean that Nigeria is probably more advanced in terms of finance than a lot of these other countries. But I think for me, I disagree a bit. I think it speaks to our willingness to actually develop, you know, our financial systems really fast. So yeah, let me know your thoughts on this, right? So why does NIBS have downtime sometimes? Why is it that sometimes when you try to send money, money does not go? So there are a couple of reasons why this happens. And one of those reasons is network downtimes, right? Banks and payment infrastructures need very, very good connections. So my source is a lot of network providers in Nigeria aren't really that good. He said the best one is probably Main One, right, which is really good. But something else that sort of banks and financial infrastructure providers actually need to do is have more than one internet service provider, right? So he said it's always good to have more than three, right, or at least three. Right. So if there's an issue with one, then you can always move to another, service provider. Another reason why NIBS might be down, or why you might not be able to send money sometimes, or why your instant payments are not so instant in some cases, is overloading. So he brought up an example during COVID, right? Bank transfers shot through the roof, and there were a lot of downtimes, and it was because the infrastructure we have in place now were not built for those high volume, right? sure it was like, you described it like as a traffic jam, right? So there's a small road, right, where about 10,000 cars pass every 10 minutes, right? So if all of a sudden we now have 100,000 cars passing that road every minute, there's going to be a problem. Then we now need to have LASMA or the police, right, to direct traffic, saying, okay, you go here, you go here. So that's why sometimes you see, oh, my transfers are not working, my friend just tried to send money, now it works, things like that. And sometimes it's just there's also the problem of mismanagement, right? Some of these, you know, financial service providers or infrastructure providers sort of spend money on the wrong thing, or probably have incompetent people, you know, manning very serious roles there. So things probably keep spoiling, probably keep buying the wrong, you know, kinds of things. So there's a couple of things that will cause your transactions not to go through sometimes. So the final thing I'm going to touch on would be fraud, right? And this is probably the most interesting part of bank transfers, or the probably most interesting part of our bank transfer conversation today. So we've actually been seeing a lot of fraud cases in Nigeria for some time now. There was a Volatile Wave one from 2023, about $6 million. There was another one from this year, $24 million. There was one with First Bank, almost 80 to about 90 billion naira. There's been a lot, actually. And what my source tells me is that it's actually very difficult to pull these things off, right? And the interesting thing is the people that are actually behind it are not usually the people that we see. They are not the people that the law enforcement trusts, because there always has to be more than one person on the inside that carries out these things, because there are a lot of things put in place to prevent these things, right? So to be able to undermine all this security means that you have very intelligent people trying to do these things, or you have people in high places within those financial institutions working with a couple of other guys to pull these things off. Yeah, it seems a bit far-fetched, right? But think about it, right? Which is exactly what this person said. He said, think about it. One person in a bank is able to go away with $19 billion. Yes, they were caught, but it's very, very impossible that they were working alone. And it's impossible that even if they weren't working alone, that they were working with their peers. So he's saying there must have been someone in probably an executive position that that person was working with to be able to pull such things off, right? And when it comes to fraud, we don't really get the whole story, right? And one thing that struck out for me that he said was, whenever a bank or a financial institution tells you that they were hit by fraud, right, whatever amount they tell you they lost, you should probably multiply it by 2, because that's the real amount. And even the data we have on fraud isn't accurate at all, right? I was reading NIB's fraud report recently, and then said the amount financial institutions lost to fraud in 2023 was around 17 billion naira. But when you think about it, just one fraud case in one financial institution is already over 80 billion naira, right? Which tells you that the fraud problem is actually huge. Yes, and I pointed out to him that, you know, fraud problems are a global problem. Yeah, which he admits, but he says it's actually a lot worse in Nigeria, right? It's a lot worse in Nigeria. And it kind of makes me question a lot of things, right? There are things he spoke about that I might not be able to divulge or share on this podcast, but I don't know, maybe with time, right? Maybe I can then put them on podcast. But fraud is actually a huge problem, and it's a problem that doesn't make sense because, yeah, maybe security isn't that good, but the rate at which people undermine that security sort of shows that there's something terribly wrong, right? There's something terribly wrong, not just with the security measures that are in place, but with the people that are supposed to have access to those funds, right? So he's sort of inclined to believe that senior members in some of these financial institutions actually have or probably have a role to play in some of these fraud cases. So let me know what you think about this, right? Is it possible? Is it not so far-fetched? I think maybe I don't know what my thoughts are on this, but I feel it's possible, right? It could be true to an extent, because according to him, it's actually really hard to infiltrate any Nigerian bank right now. And he says most of the threats to banks always come from the inside. Like, the biggest threat is always from the inside, not actually from the outside, right? And most times when these companies lose money, yeah, they tell you customers' funds are safe, but those customers' funds do take a hit, and the companies are just providing the customers their money from their own money, right? They are taking huge losses, basically, right? So, yeah. I think I'm going to end this podcast on this note. It's probably a rough first podcast episode, but like I said, I'd like to know what your feedback is. I'd like to know what you think about it. And thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. Next podcast will probably have a guest, and we'll see how we go. I'll see you in the next one.